Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That now we're starting. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Less Boys podcast. So we're back after a few weeks off. Yeah, we were just having a chat when the last time it was we actually did a podcast, and we hadn't got a manager last time we did it. So yeah, we have had a few weeks off. I know we did a Twitter space the other week. I know it's not quite the same, but we're back, and I think just about looking ahead to a new season. We had a chat the other day, me, Jack and Rick, about what we've been up to in the off season. Rick's been getting hugely frustrated and angry and starting arguments with anything and everything. And Jack, quite similar, really, with people on Twitter, has directed all his energy towards the Ashes and Australian people. But Jordan, you weren't with us the other day, mate, for the Twitter space. How are you, pal? Great to see you. And what have you been up to? Because I think you've been here, there and everywhere, haven't you? Following England, and I think you're off again very soon, aren't you, as well?
Yeah, I'm away next week as well. But yeah, it's good to see you boys. I listened to the Twitter space in Skiathos Airport. And I could have joined, to be honest, but I'm not ready to talk about Leicester City quite just yet. So yeah, I was in Malta for the England game, which was great. Then at Glasgow, then a nice relaxing holiday in Greece. And then I'm off to Croatia next week for another wedding. And then I'm actually missing the Coventry game because we're going to Latvia. But when we booked it, we didn't think we'd be in the championship. So we're going to miss the first weekend of the season. But I mean, I was in Greece for a week. It was too bloody hot for me. And I've got over 40 mosquito bites as well.
Yeah, now I saw some of them. They've probably gone to town on you, pal.
Do you know, I used to have to take tablets for it and I forgot to bring them. And I just got absolutely hammered. And they like proper scar as well. So it looks awful. But yeah, it's been nice to have a few weeks away from talking about football and watching the cricket and the Tour de France. Not really got on board with Wimbledon. But yeah, it's just nice to have a little bit of a break before we all go again.
Jordan, at what point do you reckon you will be ready for the new season and excited by it? Because, no, but genuinely, because you know, we mentioned this last week that I feel similar, that I'm still not ready to let it go, but we kind of have to. I know, you know, less so us, more so the players. Do you know what I mean? Because we don't want to start the new season, you know, still kind of angry and hungover from the last season. But at what point do you think it's going to be okay? You know, we're here now. Let's just enjoy it and, you know, and take it for what it is.
Probably in about November when we've played 15 and lost 7 or something like that. But I think the club have done pretty well to try and get the players out. And I'm quite excited by the manager, which I'm sure we'll come on to. But it's difficult when you see uploading photos on social media and you got Vestergaard and Pratt and some of the other lads from last season still there. It's just the... It's like seeing photos of your ex on Instagram all the time, isn't it? You know, just get rid, just block.
Well, I was going to say, you do that, right?
Yeah, I block straight away.
Yeah.
I unfortunately can't block LCFC.
No. No, although they block other people, don't they? but you're obviously not on Twitter, so you haven't had that luxury as such. Rick, it was your birthday today or yesterday?
Today, mate. Yeah, 40.
Oh,
today. And I feel every one of them years.
So you had a bit of a celebration, was it, on the Sunday? But you said you didn't feel too bad today, all things considered.
Well, yeah, but that was a false alarm because I deteriorated as the day went on. We had a 2.5-hour nap at lunch. I have bollocked a couple of beers down me, though, to see whether that would sort me out. And obviously, I'm now the proud owner of an ice bath, which I think now that completes the set, doesn't it? You know, we are forever bonded.
One of us. Yeah.
So I've had a little pop in there. Widgie, the size of an acorn when I came out. Had to have a whittle just to see where it was. Just so, don't know what you boys do about that. Obviously, I'm not for you. I've had a heavy weekend because Friday I was at a friend's wedding, which was a good party. Saturday recovering from that, and then yesterday again a boozy one. People were shaking their heads at me as I was drinking pints of ice cold red wine yesterday. But as I've said to you before, it doesn't devastate you as much as you think it will. It's just good to just ease you into. It's got antioxidants in it, I think, is what I've told myself anyway. So, but yeah, I had about 2 or 3 of them and I were blasted. So now I'm struggling.
Well, regardless, mate, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll see what the next 40 years or God knows how. Yeah, exactly.
I'll be here, mate, for years. Yeah. I've said I'm like a cockroach.
I was going to say a cockroach.
I am, honestly. Hating everything as well.
Oh, mate. Well, look, Jack, have you mentioned social media and hating things? And Jordan...
I don't hate things, Jack.
No, I know. I know you don't.
Just enjoy debating.
Well, I mean, it comes across as anger / hate, but Jordan
mentioned... Very angry man.
Yeah, exactly. Jordan mentioned some of the players we've seen on social media, and it did make me laugh as well, because there was a picture, wasn't there, and you could see Yannick Vestergaard in the background, sat there looking miserable as sin, and then they decided to post a picture a couple of days ago just of Danny Ward, and like, you know, Ward returns or something. I'm just thinking, why would... With the greatest of respects, does anyone want to see a picture of Danny Ward? You know, what do you expect to see in the replies? But anyway, hopefully some more players will make their way out in the coming weeks. But I've been pretty active on Twitter because there's been no football, and obviously not really tweeting all that much about Leicester. But you've been very much involved in the cricket, and that's where you've been directing your energy. Whether you're saying that's argument or debate, that's where your energy's been going, hasn't it?
But hugely, yeah. Test cricket is incredibly stressful as a pastime. So, like, even more stressful than following Leicester City, I think, because at least that only lasts 90 minutes. This lasts 5 days. I probably need to get less stressful hobbies, or just get the ice bath out of the garage, because I haven't been in it in a while. So that's what I should do. But it's good fun. It's good fun. I'm enjoying the sport on social media. Didn't think I would be saying that, but the Australians love it. So you can get stuck in. Fair dinkum and all that.
Jack, you did try to remove me from the WhatsApp group the other day.
Yeah, but that... Jake, one thing you don't do in a run chase is say, like, we've got... Well, I think we'll walk this.
Yeah.
You just don't do that.
And did we walk it?
No, we didn't. We barely scraped by. If Wood got caught by Carey, which that was quite funny, because the ball hit him in the face, then I don't think we would have. But it was very, very satisfying. So, yeah, I've had an enjoyable day. And the best thing about it is you win, and then because all of Australia's asleep, you wake up the next morning and you just see the salt.
Yeah. All your mentions and notifications start to come through.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one guy that actually, I think he does like quite a well-followed podcast that I did.
Is it Adam Collins?
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's quite a big.
Yeah, he's huge.
Commentator.
I don't know why the fuck he's responding to me, but He described the MCC as forward-looking, which is the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. And then he deleted it, and I just kept messaging and saying, forward-looking, huh? Which he didn't like it. Crying emojis. Crying emojis work quite well, I think.
Yeah.
Jack, I'll tell you what did make me laugh was that the story of Carey not paying for his haircut. And yeah, I could only assume he'd been down Supercuts for a Dean Smith and he just didn't have £4 on him.
It was 30 quid. 30 quid for a haircut. And also, you know who spread that story? I didn't realise this at the time.
You.
Alistair Cook. No, Alistair Cook did it on TMS. He just came out with a story and then the Sun picked it up. And then hilariously, he was like, he hasn't even had his haircut for 6 weeks or whenever the World Test Final was. Nonsense. But that's what was great. It's keeping me distracted, Jake. Keeping me sane.
No, well, I mean, sane, sure. Entertaining. No, it is. So, Jordan, again, we need to mention you weren't with us for the Twitter Spaces. So we have had a chat about the manager and the two new players. So your thoughts on Winks and Cody, because we haven't heard that yet. You happy with those two?
I'm absolutely delighted. I think they're exactly what we need. I know Rick has his reservations about their age and so forth, possibly their wages. But if you take Cody, I know there's reservations that he can only play in a back three. I think that looks like what Maresca's going to go with. We have been crying out for a leader for ages, and he fits the bill down to a T. I mean, what is it, 200-300 games for Wolves? Not really sure what happened there. I think when Nuno went, the new manager wasn't really having him. Didn't get in the Everton side because they play a back four. And there was a lot said about we paid over the odds for him, but I think Everton paid £3 or 4 million for the loan fee last season. So £3 or 4 million again would have been what we paid. 10 caps for England, 30 years of age, centre half, absolutely bang on. And I know the England kit man tweeted, even though I'm not on Twitter, he tweeted John Percy, he's a West Brom fan, Pat, said you won't see a better signing in the Championship all season. And hopefully, you know, he's right. And then Winks, again, I think I was on the Radio Leicester podcast with Owen, and I said that Winks, he seems to be a really polarising figure. You either think he's good or not. Like, there doesn't seem any wiggle room. I've seen Spurs fans like say it as well, but I think he's a decent player. I've always quite liked him. I guess he's just going to pretty much sit in the centre circle and just bop it round 5-10 yards. Maybe I saw a stat that his progressive passing isn't the greatest. He doesn't score a huge amount of goals, but he's only 27 and he's played in the Champions League final. Again, 10 caps for England. 200 games at Spurs? You're not a bad player if you've got those sort of games behind you. And obviously at Sampdoria, they went down and I think had his injury problems. But I think it could be a match made in heaven. He needs to reinvigorate his career. We need to rebuild. It could be perfect. And obviously they've identified two players that both in the spine of the team. And from what I heard, they had Premier League offers. That's what worries me about the wages. But for them to come down into the Championship to a club like us who have just gone down, I think that's a real statement of intent. And I think they're the kind of players that you want involved. What I would say is, to kind of Rick's point, now we've got them in, get some young and exciting players around them on the wings, maybe up front, and build a team around those two. Because I think they're two spot-on signings and they got it done really quick. And I think it's great business, to be honest.
Mm. And do you know what, Jordan? I have to say, I was initially sceptical and not happy with the Harry Winks signing. And I said as such on social media. But do you know what? You do make a number of really good points, actually. And the more I have thought about it, the more I have started to warm more to the idea. And as you said, you can't play that many games at that level. You know, Champions League, England, and, you know, what, top six Premier League football for that long if you're a bad player. Now, I know that, you know, there are lots of people throughout that time that didn't think he was good, but still, there's a big difference between that level and the level he's now going to be asked to play, which is the Championship. And he clearly does need to kind of reinvigorate himself. And he is still at a decent age at 27. There's still time on his side for sure. So, you know what it's like sometimes when a player comes in under the radar, it's sometimes quite a nice place to be, isn't it? Because there's less pressure on you. And I don't know, I'm kind of starting to get my head around maybe that it's not as underwhelming as I initially thought. Rick, I know then you said as such as well on social media, are you warming? Are you kind of still at the same point? Do you still need to see him play first before you're going to make any change in what you initially said?
No, I mean, what Jordan just said there, I was nodding my head along to it. I am. It's not so much that I don't think Winks or Cody are good players, because they are. I think Winks is one of those midfielders that I don't necessarily appreciate that much, because I like goals, I like assists, I like creativity. He's one of those players that managers love because they understand the importance of a player like that. So I accept that. And I think, you know, in the Championship, it's a drop down in class, and I think he will probably show his class. I'm just more concerned about, you know, very quickly, has the owners and board learnt their lessons from last season? Don't know. You know, signing the likes of Cody and Winks, they perhaps have, you know, other PL teams that wanted them. What wages are they on? You know, Winks supposedly has had injury problems, although it's not as bad as was rumoured. I think his injury last season was the first one he'd had in a few years. So perhaps he's not as bad as what his reputation said. Cody, I think, as a leader, is massively what we need. And Winks, you know, you can't fault his character. I did say, you know, I'm sick of players seeing Leicester as a step down, or, you know, they don't really want to be here. I want players that want to play for us. Maybe I was being a bit unfair when I was then saying, you know, criticising the signing of Winks. I think as a character, he's well regarded and talked about. So, yeah, I think I am tracking back on what I said. But yeah, I need to see him play. He's not played a lot in recent years. And the bright spark that he was when he came onto the scene under Pochettino, it did start, I mean, almost a bit like Choudhury with us. Now, obviously, he's a far better player than Choudhury, but, you know, I think his career has stagnated and he needs a new challenge. Let's hope we're it. But as George says, we need some other players in now. You know, we've only got two players in. Three seasons into our second week. We're going round the world in a few weeks. It needs to happen. If we need other players out the door, get them out the door, even if we have to take less money and spend less money. You know, we need to have this rebuild. That's what's concerning me.
Yeah, and I say it's something I mentioned on the Twitter space. I think we're going to struggle to move on them players. I think that Castagna and Barnes will go for less money than what we want to sell them for. But then everyone else, there's not going to be any, you know, maybe Ian Acho, because links are there. But there's not really links with anyone else because they've been so poor. No one's going to be batting down the door, are they, to sign them? So I'd imagine lots of these players will be last minute loan deals when clubs are panicking because they've not got their second, third, fourth or fifth option. Jack, a quick one on the Big Strong Leicester Boys live podcast. It's 2.5 weeks away. I've left you kind of in charge of ticket sales. Not that you're selling them, but in terms of, you know, the numbers. We're doing all right, aren't we? People genuinely need to, if they want them, I think there's about 20 or so tickets left. Is that correct from the last count?
That was on Friday. Mm. So I don't know. I don't know how many are left now. Not that many, basically. So if you want them, get them now.
Yeah. I know people genuinely say they're selling out fast. There is genuinely about 20 tickets left. So if you do want to come, you know,
the other thing I would say is I know that there have been like a few questions sent to me on various forms of social media. They will be sending an email out with all the bits and pieces you need to know.
I've had people message as well asking with the email confirmation they've got. Are they going to receive something else?
Yeah. So I need to check with Liam. Basically, this is wholly unprofessional and chaotic. You know, would you expect anything different? But yeah, there will. I think it will be sort of names on the door. But yeah, I will confirm that back with everyone. And there is going to be a change of venue as well, is the other thing, which we will confirm. It's still in Leicester and it's actually a better venue, but that will be confirmed in the next week or so.
All right.
And there will be Old Speckled Hen for those who requested it. So,
is there?
Yeah, yeah. The Rick's mate requested Old Speckled Hen. So
yeah, no, I know, but we did this on the Spaces, and they replied saying that I think they could sort out Bacardi Breezer, but not Old Speckled Hen.
I've had a word. There'll be Old Speckled Hen.
Lovely stuff.
So yeah, it's fine.
Amazing.
Lads, are we going to be wearing the Leicester Hawaiian shirts, by the way? We haven't discussed
I've got a problem with this, and the reason is I saw a bloke in Greece wearing a Nottingham Forest Hawaiian shirt, and I just thought, what a helmet you are. And I don't want to be the same.
Yeah, but was he wearing it ironically?
Probably not.
From Nottingham. I don't think irony exists there, does it?
So exactly. So we're fine, mate.
Don't get me started,
I think we've got £10 each to get our scope, and we've got a buy. So I'll get you an outfit, Jake.
No,
and then
not.
Yes. Got 10 quid each now, scope.
Not a chance would I allow you to pick out my outfit for 10 quid. Not a chance. So is that a no on the Leicester Hawaiian shirts? I thought that'd be a goer. No, you're not keen.
Right. Well, Jordan isn't. I'm fine if you want to wear them. I don't mind.
All right. Well, we'll have this chat after the podcast and come up with something. But yeah, 2.5 weeks away. 29th of July, about 20 or so tickets left. So do get them. Rick, with the live show itself, I do feel that, for yourself, I don't know. I'm not sure kind of where I'm going with this.
Are you about to put a load of pressure on him?
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm wondering how I phrase that. And it's going to basically revolve around pressure, Rick drinking, being on stage and just being highly amusing, really.
Prattling about.
A lot. It's a lot. Yeah, I am nervous about it all. I'm not a man who deals well with pressure. I can do the drinking part. That won't be a major problem, but it's everything else. I am concerned, but... Mm. I'll worry about it on the day. There won't be any planning because what's the point?
Do you know with like professional darts, because no, back in the day, you know, with Andy Fordham and whatnot, that they used to get bollocks backstage, right? But they now like to tell people that basically they don't do that anymore.
Yeah,
but they actually 100% do. They'll all have various, not all, there'll be a couple that don't, but by and large, they do. They all still drink to settle the nerves because that's where they learned to play. It wasn't in the pub because it was kind of a drinking. Like some of them literally like neck like 2 pints of wine, like Sam Allardyce style, before going out to play darts. I would largely suspect Peter Wright is one of them. If you've ever heard any of his post-match interviews, he sounds pissed.
Jake, what about Allardyce necking 2 pints of wine? Is that a thing?
Yes.
He looks the sort, doesn't he?
No, well, I don't...
Do you know, all right, I mean, Jordan, surely you know the Allardyce. So when Sam Allardyce lost the England job, remember when he got done with that sting?
Oh, yeah, he was ordering pints of wine,
yeah,
wasn't he?
He had a pint of wine, yeah.
Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Fair play.
A pint of white wine when he was trying to sort out something or other that he shouldn't have been doing.
You'd never get Southgate doing that, would you?
God, no.
Imagine Southgate having a pint of Blue Nun.
Yeah, what do you think his drink of choice is?
Who's Southgate?
He's a classy man. He's a classy man.
Baby Sham.
He was at the cricket, boozed up.
Was he?
I cannot believe that bloke is still milking that 4 years on.
Well, do you know Andy Woodman, the former Crystal Palace goalkeeper?
No.
And I think he's like manager at Bromley, or he certainly was. And his son is Freddie Woodman, the goalkeeper.
Oh yeah.
He was at Newcastle for a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah. So Gareth Southgate is Freddie Woodman's godfather, because Andy and Gareth are obviously good friends from their time when they grew up at Palace together, because that's where Gareth played as a kid. And if you ever, it's kind of lost a little bit because you don't know who Andy Woodman is, but kind of Google him. He's done that. That podcast.
He's done Under the Cosh, hasn't he? Yeah,
that's the one. And he's hilarious. He's a proper character. But I just find it's just so intriguing that he's best mates with Gareth Southgate. And you could never find two more different blokes. But it's well worth the watch. And when you know that, it's kind of then bizarre because you just wonder the Gareth Southgate that we see, the wonderfully polished man, and so neat and tidy and respectful in everything that he does. I do wonder if there's another side to Gareth Southgate that we just don't know. But anyway, back to Leicester. Players, Harvey Barnes, let's go there, shall we? Jordan, you hate all the players. You want them all gone. I'm on this one with you. So Harvey Barnes to Newcastle. We're being told negotiations are happening. Not particularly close. Leicester's asking price, we were told, was probably around 50, 60 million quid. I don't think we're going to get anywhere close to that. But yeah, where are you at with it? What would you accept? And are you keen just to get him out the door?
Yeah. I just get fed up with, well, I hate transfers anyway, but what I don't understand is when people say, I mean, obviously it is quite complex to get a transfer over the line. Not if you pay what the going fee is, though. Newcastle are constantly trying to lowball figures, and they've done it for the last couple of years. They'll blame FFP, but let's get things right. They just spent 70 million on a lad from Milan. So they're obviously taking the piss. They want to pay 35. If our asking price is 50, just give us 40 million up front with 10 million add-ons that are never going to happen. It's not rocket science. If you want him, just pay it. And I think 40 million is probably about right, looking at Madison's fee. And, you know, it's a shame that we're going to have to sell Barnes, but just get him gone. Just get rid.
Is it that much of a shame, though? Like, genuinely? Because
he's a good player, isn't he?
We spoke about Harvey Barnes so much last season. And, you know, Madison's gone. And we kind of, obviously, we knew that was going to happen. But it was, personally, from my perspective, I wasn't really sad to see it happen. Probably should have been more sad than what I was. And then with Harvey Barnes, obviously someone who's come through the academy and someone who, I don't know, that there's that maybe less pressure to sell. Madison, he had to go, didn't he, for his England aspirations, etc., blah-de-blah. Blah. But with Barnes, is it not maybe a little bit different? Should there not be some kind of attempt to hold on to him? Or do we actually want him gone?
I mean, obviously, I'd like to keep him, but I just think to reinvest in the team, unfortunately, we're going to have to sell him. And being an academy player, it's all profit for FFP regulations. I think that's why they got rid of Madison so quickly, because June 31st is when the accounts need to be in by. So that's kind of why a lot of clubs seem to be doing business around that time. Got my own thoughts about Madison that are probably not for for the pod.
They're not positive.
Well, not regarding social media posts that say, let's stick together and you can't wait to get out the door. Don't treat fans like idiots because, you know, we're not stupid. Go on, Barnes. Yeah, like, good player. I think the reason Newcastle are going for him is because they think they can get him on the cheap, to be honest. They don't seem to rate St. Maximin.
Sorry, George. Just speaking of Newcastle, have you seen the videos of Tonali walking around the training ground looking thoroughly miserable?
I've not, no.
They're really funny. There's one video doing the rounds today where, like, his girlfriend goes, oh, this is bigger than the gym in Milan. And he's like, no, Milan's bigger.
Oh, is it really? Love that. Love that.
I find it amusing, the whole thing, that these players, down tools, none of them wanted to be here. Yeah. They all thought they were too big for the club. Tielemans ends up at Villa on 150 grand a week that we wouldn't have paid. Villa are going on about, fucking hell, they've only had a good 6 months and they think they're going to be in the Champions League next year, 12th. Newcastle will finish about 8th because Chelsea will be better next season. Tottenham, I mean, Madison's gone Tottenham. What, they're not even in Europe. It's just an average move. And then some of the players, like we mentioned earlier in training, like Vestergaard, Pratt,
loads of them, they all think
they're getting these glamour moves and no one fucking wants them. And they're on these inflated wages, which is our problem, but just anyone who got us relegated last season other than Vardy is welcome to walk out that door for me.
Yeah. Jordan, mate, I completely agree. And I'm glad you said that about Vardy. Again, you know, it may divide a little bit in terms of obviously the money that he's on and his age and obviously didn't have a great season. But for me, anyone I'd be open to offers for apart from Jamie Vardy just for one more year. Rick, your then take on Harvey Barnes, because for me, I thought that, I don't think he down tools. He's a strange one, isn't he? And we've all we've spoken about his not mentality, but it just, I've always found there's something missing and lacking in terms of personality and just something. I can't quite put my finger on it with Harvey Barnes. He's got all the ability in the world, but for whatever reason, there's something holding him back from making that step up to, you know, the absolute elite level. And I think there's, whilst he's got many qualities, I think he's got significantly more weaknesses to his game than someone like James Maddison. I don't think he's a long way from the complete player, which I think is why it's a Newcastle and not one of the big six coming in for him, despite the fact his goal return was so decent last season. But for me, his attitudes, I'm not a massive fan of it. Some players just look a little bit miserable all the time, don't they? I'm not sure if he is just one of them. But I do get that sense and that feeling from Harvey Barnes. For quite a while now, he's not been really happy and hasn't really wanted to be at the club. So for me, if we can get 40 million quid for him, off you go. And I'm not going to miss you all that much, if I'm brutally honest.
Yeah, I'm torn on Barnes. I do like him. I do like the fact he's come through our academy, probably been our best attacking player through the academy in many a year. Not that there's been that many, but, you know, I like wingers and we've never replaced Mahrez. And if Barnes goes, will we replace Barnes? That's the worry. But he's got to go. Yes, we could try and keep him. I think he'd absolutely rip the championship to pieces. He did at West Brom in the first half of 2018-19, when that was when he couldn't finish, and he can finish now. You know, for all his deficiencies, can't take players on that well anymore. He still can score. You know, he's learned how to place the ball in the net. That low finish, he just does over and over and over again. He has got weaknesses, and you're right, he probably doesn't go to one of the elite clubs. That being said, I reckon if he did was surrounded with better players to can cover up his weaknesses defensively and, you know, seemingly unable to take the fullback on, even when he's got acres of space, I think he would. I always thought he'd do well at Liverpool. Maybe I'm being biased and he wouldn't, but, you know, there's for 35, 40 million, which I think is what all we'll get for him, he gets you 15, 20 goal contributions a season in a good team. I mean, they are rare players in the Premier League. They are. And that's with someone who's got so, you know, weaknesses. His all-round game is not as strong as many others. But, yeah, I think we evidently need the money to build what we need, because if we didn't need the money, why aren't other players coming in yet? So I think he's got to go. Newcastle can bollocks. They did it with Maddison last summer. They've tried to do it with Maddison again this summer. Pay up, as George says, or piss off. West Ham or Villa, I think, will offer at least 30 to start with. Well, that's a starting point above what Newcastle seem willing to open up with. Get to 35, maybe with another 5 to 10 add-ons, and I think do the deal, get it done, and we can start getting some players in. I do have concerns what we're bringing in, though. We've not been linked with hardly any creative midfielders, wingers. What are we going to play? I do worry, you know, lose Maddison and Barnes' goals. What we got?
Yeah, well, I mean, genuinely, Rick, if Barnes then goes, the only winger who's played first-team football at the football club will be Mark Albrighton.
The nose, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have been linked with a French player, Mavididi. Have you seen that and know anything of him? I know if you like to do your scouting reports, but, you know, we need not just 1, 2, 3. We need to bring in a number of attacking players, predominantly wingers, because we know Barnes is going to go and there's going to be none left, really.
Well, yeah, or if we are going three at the back, then we at least need some like versatile attacking midfielders that can play centrally or out wide. And we've not been linked with any of those, have we? I think Elias Chair, we were linked straight after the end of the season, and Tom Kearney, but since then there's been no link. So yeah, the lad from Montpellier, can't pronounce his name, but you just had a good stab at it. He's all right.
You called him the French lad, and he was born in Derby, and he's English.
No, I didn't say the French lad. I said Montpellier. Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, does he not play in France?
He plays in France.
Mavididi
sounds like a French player to me.
Mavididi, yeah.
Well, what born in? Tell us more, Jack, if you know all about this player.
Well, I don't know. I just read it because he's born in Derby, so I don't want to sign him.
So it works because instantly Jack's going to hate him then.
Yeah. But has he played any football in this country, or was he born in Derby and then?
Just academy football, weren't it? I think, Jack.
Yeah, his career is bizarre because Arsenal took him up until under 23s. And then he went to Juventus and he's ended up at Montpellier. And he's capped, this is going back 6 years, but he was capped all the way through to England under 20s. So there was obviously a player there, but I don't know what's happened to him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's done all right out there. He's done all right in League One, but League Earn or whatever you say. He's in League Earn. Yeah, he's played more up front, actually, than out wide at Montpellier. So, again, could this be Maresca looking for somebody playing a front two, or if we didn't need to go to wingers to change it up, he can play out wide. So, last year of his contract, get him for $5 million or so, fine, but you know we won't. We'll pay double that minimum.
But the fact that then, you know, as you said, he was born in England, has played England youth level, and is currently playing abroad. He may well fancy the chance to come back to England. Jack, I do wonder, because we've just had the England under 21 championships, haven't we? And of course, our Luke Thomas, part of the England team that went on and win it. I watched a few of them games. He did himself well when he got into the team. Congratulations to those boys. I did enjoy it. I wonder now if you may see some movement in terms of signings, because you had quite a few of the Man City loan boys, Taylor Harwood-Bellis, Cole Palmer, Doyle, obviously James Trafford as well. And then, what is it, Cassaday with Italy, one of the Spanish players as well, I know has been linked with Leicester. I do wonder, because I do think that is probably a market we're fishing in. I'd like us to be anyway. So I do wonder now that tournament's finished, we might see some movement there.
Yeah, you hope so, don't you? I think Trafford's probably got a Premier League move, you would assume, because he played pretty well. I mean,
it's Burnley, isn't it? I think it's gone for about £19 million, I think, to Burnley.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd assume, and Harwood-Bellis, you'd assume, will just go back to, where was he last year? Burnley?
He was at Burnley, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd assume a lot of them would go to there. Someone like Cole Palmer, I mean, he'd be amazing if we could get him.
He'd be absolutely perfect.
It just depends on what level those players want to go and play at. And you wonder whether if Man City really rate them, whether they put them in the Premier League or want them to go and play for trust.
Would you not think, though, you know, going to someone like Burnley, playing at the bottom of the Premier League, and not
that's
particularly attractive style of football.
Yeah.
Do you not think Pep would be more inclined to send him to a man he knows in Maresca, a team who's you know what style of football they're going to be playing, and hopefully at the top of the championship, winning games and playing week in, week out? Do you not think that actually it puts us in a stronger position to sign some of those players as opposed to some of the bottom Premier League clubs? Because there's always a risk, isn't it? The one I always think of is Billy Gilmore, you know, Chelsea, so highly rated, sent him to Norwich to play games, and basically really his career's never recovered from it.
Yeah,
you're so careful, haven't you, where you send them?
And there's always a risk that they might not play in a dogfight as well, which, I think they'd be really cautious about. But I would assume they trust Maresca. Like, Guardiola's worked with him for a long time, so hopefully we can nab a few off them. I think the signings of Winks and Cody make loads of sense, providing you don't go and buy a load of other 30-year-old players. Like, we need some younger players in and around the place. I mean, listening to you talking about it, I've been pretty relaxed about the signings, given that we have done some business early, but the bit that concerns me more is getting players out the door than getting players in the door. There's still a lot of players around that I don't see much of a future for, and you know, I'm sure the atmosphere has lifted a little bit with a manager coming in and a bit of a change of scenery, but you've still got a lot of players there stinking the place out. And to your point earlier, I don't think anyone was cheering for the return of Danny Ward from his international break, except Danny Ward, probably.
Do you know that meme, the picture of the young girl, that the awkward face?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's what I replied to the Danny Ward picture. And he did quite well, quite a lot of interactions. So that all went down well. Has anyone seen the news today about the pre-season tour and the game with Spurs now being cancelled?
It's been cancelled, is it?
Yeah. So we're still going out there. I believe we've now only got one game against Liverpool out there, I believe this to be correct. I don't know how many other games you had planned out there, but yeah, I saw a Thai news outlet reported today, and a couple of people quote retweeted it. So I think it's the Spurs game which has been cancelled. So as we were kind of talking about how the whole thing, did it really make sense anyway, because of how close it was to the start of the new season? And also, what's the point in having a friendly with Spurs and Liverpool in Asia when you could literally just do it in this country? Because we're not going to gain anything merchandise-wise, are we, by flying out to Asia, by losing to Spurs or Liverpool? It's kind of just a bonkers decision. I mean, you know, he's worth double-checking, but I'm fairly certain that to be the case.
Ridiculous.
I know people have tweeted it, I'm sure, so to go have a look at that at some point. We are not going to go as long, I think, today on today's episode for obvious reasons, because we've not got games yet to speak about and still looking for some new players and bits and pieces to talk about. So unless you guys have got anything else, do you want to do a who are you now? Because we can, of course, still do them. Jack, have you got something else that you want to bring up?
No, just explain the intro song, Jake, because we haven't done that yet. Were you saving that for later?
No, I'd completely forgotten to. So by all means, yeah, I probably should have done that earlier.
Yeah. Would you like me to explain it?
Yeah, go for it.
So I did a tweet last night and I...
We've been tweeting so much, haven't we?
Yeah, but I did two bad things on the tweet. Firstly, it's a line that I stole off George because he did this to his mate who happens to be bald. But obviously, Willie Caballero is now our assistant manager, which means we have three bald members of the coaching staff, and no disrespect to any bald listeners that we have, but I just think what are the odds of having three bald members of staff? So I George can probably tell this story better than I do, but one of your mates got someone to sing for them.
Yeah, he sings in the pub, and we, it was his birthday, we paid for him to do a gig in his garden, and we got him to change the words to Spandau Ballet. He wasn't that happy about changing them, but you know, really talks, doesn't it?
So anyway, we've got a song for our coaching staff, and we could just sing it for all
of
them rather than individualising them. I'm not singing it.
Go on, Jack.
Bold.
Well, I like it. And yeah, probably should have explained that one earlier on.
Yeah. Can we ask Jersey to sing that on the live night, please?
Yeah, I'm always conscious of asking serious musicians to do something like that. But I reckon Jersey would actually probably be up for it. But no promises. I'll ask the question. Yeah. Right, should we do some Who Are You?
Yes, please.
Right, give me 2 seconds whilst I stop that bit of music playing. And then, where is it? It's been a while. Let's go. Here we are.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Well, lads, you'll be pleased to know that obviously we're now doing this every single morning on TalkSport as well.
And the under-21s were doing it in Georgia.
Well, here you are then. I've got one for you, lads. I did an under-21s this morning. Obviously, it's non-Leicester related. But if I was to give you the clues that I was last part of an England side, under-21 side, that won the European Championships, and I am famous for scoring an own goal in an FA Cup final, so much so that there is a fanzine named after me. Who am I? Oh.
Des Walker.
Des Walker's one of the guesses this morning. A couple of people guessed Des, but no, it's not him. But it's not a bad guess at all. Any others?
What does he do?
Who are you?
Is it that
you.
Era?
No, not me, you.
Yeah, it must be. I can only presume so. So it was 1984 was the European Championships last time they won. And the FA Cup final in which he scored an own goal was... 1987.
Is that the Wimbledon final?
No.
Is that Cov?
It was. So, and there's a Coventry fanzine named after this player because he scored an own goal for them.
Keith Urchin got the other goal.
He scored.
He scored the goal for Spurs, but then also scored an own goal.
Gary Mabbott.
Yes, Ric Flair. Gary Mabbott. So there's a Coventry fanzine called Gary Mabbott's, I think, left knee. He became a bit of a cult hero for scoring that own goal for them, which helped win the FA Cup back in 1987. So look, now I'm playing Who Are You?
What would ours be? Ben Chilwell's big toe or something?
Yeah.
What was that? VAR, really.
That should be a good one, actually. Ben Chilwell's big toe. We might have to rebrand.
One of the lads that you all know, actually, Dan Sodi, I've got to mention this.
Yeah.
His dream is to buy the halftime orange and rename it Claridge's Shin. And I think that's a great idea.
That's quality.
That would be. It's a great name, isn't it, for a booze or something like that.
Symphony Rouge now, right?
Yeah.
Right, Jack, you're going to do Who I Am today, correct?
You ready?
Always.
Okay, right. I was born on the 28th of November, 1980, in Romford, England.
Okay.
Ray Parlour.
Incorrect.
So how old is he? My math is crap. What, 41?
Close. 42.
Oh, okay. 42. I'll take that.
42.
Okay, next one, please.
I played 10 games for Leicester in the 2004-05 season.
I can see as well, Jack, you're not reading these clues. These are off the top of your head.
So. Yeah. You can't see me looking to the left, can you, at all?
No, I'm now reading into that. Why do you know all these ones off the top of your head?
Ben Thatcher. So,
incorrect. I used to love Thatch.
Is that season, is it?
No,
it's the one after that. It's where under Adams and Levine, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Next one.
David Connolly.
Incorrect.
Oh, no, he played way more than that for us. Sorry, stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid, Rick. Roll rubbish, yes.
I made 75 appearances in my career, scoring no goals.
Is that it? But 10 times for us? Okay. I feel like I'm one more away, and I'm going to beat Rick today. I'm determined.
What, am I not in the race?
No. Forgot you were here. Come on, Jack.
I played for all the England age groups.
John Curtis.
No, incorrect. up to England under 21s in 2001 with three appearances.
Three times under 21s, but only made 75 career appearences.
Not a lot. Michael Johnson.
No,
that was no, because he was under.
I reckon. I reckon you'll. I think this will help. I began my career at Arsenal, where
Ryan
I was.
Smith.
Incorrect. Where I was there from 1997 to 2005, where I made 18 appearances.
Richard Hughes.
Stuart Taylor.
Yes, Rick.
No.
Come on.
Oh, yes. Oh. Still got it. 6 weeks off. Bye.
I forgot he played for us. So
I remember
he had a blinder away at Wigan. I think it might have been his debut. 0-0.
Oh, that's really upset me. I was confident today. I was feeling on form. But no, this is Rick's world and we're all just living in it.
Yeah. He was still playing up to 2018 for Southampton. So.
Did he just come like, I say it's basically Carlo Nash, where you just
He was an early version of Richard Wright, wasn't he? He was at Man City for 3 years. And I think that's when Richard Wright went there. I think Richard Wright was at Arsenal at a similar time to him as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
Richard
he was.
Replaced him as the number two.
Yeah. There.
At least Wright have a good couple of seasons at Ipswich, though, where he was first choice before going.
And they thought he was going to be the one, didn't they?
Yeah.
Am I getting this right? Was Richard Wright at Man City?
No.
He might have been.
Yeah, he's a goalkeeper coach. Yeah.
What was it? Was he ever a player there?
Yeah, he was there. He was there. This is actually amazing, right? So basically, what's happened is it was Stuart Taylor followed by Richard Wright followed by Scott Carson. all of whom played England under 21s, have all been Man City's third choice goalkeepers, and they're all about the same age.
I had no idea, Richard. Didn't Scott Carson break the record by winning his the two Champions Leagues? He's won the Champions League twice with Liverpool and Man City, but the two furthest apart, the largest distance between two Champions League wins, despite the fact he's... I think he actually played 45 minutes of a Man City game in a Champions League. And so people obviously put out this stat saying, you know, how ridiculous it was. He's won the Champions League twice and there's like 20 years between the two. But it was like, no, I played 45 minutes against some crap team. But he's a funny bloke, actually, Scott Carson. So fair play to him. Right. So normal... what's the word? Resumes. Rick winning.
That is the word, is it? Normal.
Well, there was a word in the middle which I can't remember.
That normal, famous saying.
Normality.
Normal service.
Any other
normal
business?
Service. Thank you, Jordan. Normal service is a tough word to remember. Service.
We need more of these pods to practice, don't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, out of practice. It's been a few weeks.
Getting her eye back in.
It'd be all right if I didn't have to do this every day. But anyway, never mind. Back to Leicester then. Where do we go now? About 10 minutes chatting about. What's next? I don't know.
I've got an idea.
Yours, boys.
I heard a line earlier today which summed up my hopes for this season, and it was on a cricket podcast, so forgive me. But basically, this guy said, and he summed it up beautifully, he was like, all I want is a team that cares as much as I do and entertains me. And that is all I want this season. I'm never going to get that, but that is what I want from Leicester. Like, when we lose, I want it to hurt as much as it hurts me. And that's what I didn't see last season. And it really wasn't very entertaining. So as long as, like, they care and it's a little bit entertaining, I'll be happy. It's not too much to ask for, is it?
Was that on an English podcast or an Australian?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was English. I
just wondered if you counted getting out to every short ball that Australia have bowled as entertaining.
Well, it's entertaining for Australians. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's all I want.
I like what Maresca's said so far.
He has spoken well, hasn't he?
He said that we were the Man City of the Championship, which I thought was great.
But we should be, shouldn't we?
We should.
I was hoping more for sort of like a PSG style, you know, just like pure money. But
Man City B team works well for me.
I think so.
Man City B team.
I've claimed, and I stand by it, we're the biggest team ever in the EFL.
Yeah. But that's kind of, well, I think
that's true.
You can do the Newcastle team, right? Because that was generally a big shock when they went down. Did they just go down twice? Well, I know, but it wasn't at the time a huge story. And you know, for whatever reason, Leicester didn't get the same kind of.
I think we did, Jack.
When you consider that, you know, I know we've said this countless bloody times. You know, we speak about it. But the reality is like it's the biggest kind of failure in like Premier League history, really. Yeah. You know, seventh highest wage bill, you know, a team that hadn't finished outside the top half in more, is it 5 years? And then, you know, challenging for the Champions League, winning the FA Cup. Ordinarily, you know, your Newcastles, your Villas, your Leeds, you know, it wasn't actually that much of a surprise. They were flirting around the relegation, or there was a reason, like financial issues. We were just absolutely horrific. Do you know what I mean? And I actually don't think it did get the amount of kind of attention that it should have got from like the mainstream media outside of Leicester. Actually, I think even as a fan base, you know, the fact that we're already kind of just, we almost accepted it incredibly quickly. I know other people haven't, like us mainly, but do you know what I mean? I'm still not over that. And, you know, and we talk about how we should then be great next year, and we should be, we really, really should be. But until we get all those players out, there is surely still going to be that element of a little bit of continuation from last season. You know, I know a new manager brings in fresh ideas, etc., and there is some new players in there. But if we're only going to lose what a handful of players, and the large bulk of them are still there, I mean, does that much change really?
Nope.
Can I ask you a question on that?
Hmm.
Is that a good? I genuinely don't know the answer to this. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because if we keep hold of our players, technically, at one stage or another, they were top 10 Premier League players. So you go, we're going to the Championship with very good players. Or are you absolutely sick of the sight of them, and has their motivation completely gone because they think they're better than this and you just want them out the door?
I want them out the door. I mean, there's a handful, you know, so people like James Justin, you know, for reasons, obvious ones, he's been injured. You know, some of those lads I want to keep. But for me, it's not about the ability, Jack. It's kind of like showing their true colours as such. Yeah, like they've already demonstrated that their heart isn't at the football club. And, you know, I know that footballers don't view football the same as, or the football club the same as what we do, and that's fine. But I do feel that they actually disrespected the football club immensely last year. And as we've said so many times, all of them thought that even if they play shit this year, and if they get relegated, they'll be okay. They'll get a move. And I don't think that most of them will. And even the moves that they do get, they're not going to be the ones they thought they'd get. So, there are some. You know, I know that, again, Dewsbury Hall has divided things massively. I want to see him have a positive season and re-find what we thought he had maybe a couple of years ago. The joy is very much out on him. James Justin, I want to have a season of him being fit. Patson Daka, again, he was a player I've openly said I'm really not too sure about. If he had a good season in the Championship, scoring 20-plus goals, would that then help him, you know, then find his feet in the Premier League and see a different player? There are some there within there where I say, okay, fine. You know, I would be open to keep him. But the large majority, I don't really. Not particularly. You know, I do want to see new, young, exciting players in because there was just something about the way that we went down last season that just makes me have complete kind of apathy towards them, like genuinely.
An interesting one for me, Jake, is, you know, if you look on paper, the first game of the season, this is the squad. Realistically, that squad should piss the league. Really should.
And I hate it, by the way, when people put on social media, Leicester's potential 11. Like, stop doing it.
Yeah, like, HMS piss the league. Yeah.
You don't know what the team's going to be. You don't know who we're going to sign. You know, it really is complete and utter nonsense. No one gives a shit what your preferred 11's going to be. Like, stop doing it. But you are right in terms of the squad that we have got. Like, in comparison to what anyone else has, it really should. And so even if things haven't changed, right, not hugely, you know, because we haven't mentioned John Rudkin once yet in this podcast, but do you know what I mean?
Or Johnny Evans. Or any other man named John. So.
But there was lots we wanted to see change, which hasn't, right? But even if those changes don't happen and we then go into the start of the season with that group of players, even though I kind of, well, as I've just said, I wouldn't say despise them, but haven't got a huge amount of affection for them, irrespective of all of that, they still should get out of this league at a canter. Yeah. They should.
Yeah. Like I said, well, the interesting one for me is Ricardo, because I don't know what's going on there. If he stays, he'd be the best player in that league by a distance, I think.
If he stays fit.
He won't be the best player at Leicester.
Oh, he will run the show in that division.
But that's why he's going to be there, Jordan, because he hasn't been fit for 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to put people off. But I just think, like, fast forward a year's time, say we get back up, I think I'll still be fuming. Like, anything other than going up is a complete failure. And if we go up, I'll still be like, right, well, we should have been in this division anyway.
Mm. Mate, I'm completely with you.
It's a weird feeling because it would be like, it's like taking a year break, like a gap year.
Like John Rudkin did last year.
I'm entitled. It's like that Peep Show meme. Are we the Nazis?
Well, I really enjoy that all the other clubs are already moaning about us buying the league, even though we're the only team with sellable assets.
Yeah, it is funny. It's like, well, what do you expect? You know, we were literally last year at the start of the season talking about challenging for European football. Do you think we've just suddenly just lost all our players? Of course we're going to have a better team than everyone else because we shouldn't be in this bloody league. That's not our – well, it's exactly our fault. But it's not the fans' fault. Yeah, but it's not the fans' fault, is my point. You know, when they're having a go at us talking –
it's
like
it's Rick's for endorsing Tete.
Yeah. I mean, it is a cliche, but we'll be everyone's cup final in that league.
Yeah.
That's what Maresca said, wasn't it?
Mm. That first game at home against Cov is going to be, I actually do fear the worst in that one. I think that actually we will get promoted. I do think that. But I do actually have got a horrible feeling about the opening game. Just to, you know, start on that really positive note.
I just absolutely love it if we like blitz them like 4 or 5-0. I think everyone else would be like, ah, these are actually good.
Yeah, but people are expecting us to be good. Do you know what I mean? They are. And Rick, it has to be said as well, the jury is out on Enzo Maresca, like massively. Mm. Like he's got to hit the ground running, hasn't he? Because, you know, he's got no discernible track record as a manager. And the pressure is going to be on him massively because it's expected that he gets this team promoted.
Yeah, I'm really not confident about us next season, not from the off. I don't think we'll be a complete failure, but I, you know, we've got so much transfer in and out. So we're going away to Southeast Asia, which we look light on games. I think we'll start the season badly because, as George says, we're going to be everyone's cup final. And if we're not prepared, then we will be in for a rude awakening. You know, you're saying that it was really good to hear Maresca say we're going to be the Man City of the Championship. Part of me thinks that's a really arrogant viewpoint to have. I don't mind a bit of arrogance, and I don't mind, but actions speak louder than words. I think we could be well in for some rough few months, but hopefully then we'll steady it. But, you know, he started badly at Parma, and how forgiving everyone will be, I don't know. But I'll probably be a bit more confident once I see the squad shape up. But as you've all just been discussing there, theoretically, on paper, our squad is still vastly better than the majority. Sort the Malays out. The likes of Ndidi, Pratt, I don't think's ever settled at Leicester, and I don't think he's of any use. And there's others, and I do wonder what we've got to get them out the door. We just have to, and then hope that also our injury problems that have riddled us in the last few years, that we can overcome those, because 46 games is going to be brutal. You know, Justin and Ricardo on paper are going to be immense players, but they're made of wet bog roll. They'll be done, won't they? And then what we got? And if we play wing backs, I don't think our squad suits wing backs. Yes, Justin and Ricardo theoretically do. I don't think Luke Thomas is a wing back.
I think all Brighton does, though, Rick. Like genuinely, in the championship, possibly.
But I'm more worried on the left hand side. I don't think Christiansen's a wing back either. I think he's a full back. And he'll be a bloody good one at that. But I don't think he's a wing-back. So, fine, if we're going to play that system, we still need players for it. And you still need midfielders that can play it. I don't know. There's so much work for us to do. I'm not confident at the minute. But, you know, I'm glad they went for someone like Maresca, because I thought they were going to play it safe and go with, a Scott Parker or a Gerrard or someone like that, which wouldn't be playing it safe, but, you know, going for that. So we'll see. But I want some more players in, please. Boring me.
Have you seen the images of Gerrard and his new manager job in Saudi Arabia?
Looks very like, hot and uncomfortable.
He does, but he also looks like he's negotiating peace talks.
Yeah.
But he might be. but I tell you, I saw his welcome video and he looked rather uncomfortable doing it. But hey, he's been paid a bucket load of cash. So, yeah, you take it. Lads, we've already now got over an hour after saying we weren't going to do very long today. Any other business before we do wrap up?
Is Rick getting the speckled breeze in at the live night?
I'm going to have a pint of speckled hen and breezer. Drinks are available, we'll do some speckled hen bombs with breezer, flaming breezers.
Speckled breezers for geezers, mate.
Freezer.
Are you...
Fiona on a breezer.
Are you ever sick, Rick, when you're drunk?
Sick, Rick. Yeah, most that's of his the alter time, ego.
I'd say usually 7 or 8 times out of 10, I'll hurl.
Okay, right.
Chunda Flair.
Yeah. I would, maybe not be sick at the live.
Yeah, just do it in the caravan. Park up outside.
I am thinking of bringing the caravan. So
You might have to park it in Leicester City Centre. So
it's the after party, fine. Isn't it? After party in the caravan.
That's what we're going to have. I'm going to get some decks set up in there. And I've had an air fryer for me 40th, so I'll get some scran on. We have some chicken kebabs afterwards.
Is it a £2 entry to the after party?
That's it.
I'll just bring you around Kiev.
Yeah. Kiev at the door. Right, lads, let's leave it there. Once again, a reminder, please do get those last remaining tickets if you do want to come. And as Jack mentioned, there is a change of venue. We will announce that, though, on social media. It is easier, though. It's still in Leicester. And it's a slightly better venue as well. So it's all good. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll catch you maybe next week or the week after. Right, take care.
Podcast Network.